Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive. Boundless Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, reminding you again, if you have not yet seen it on our site or seen it through the e-newsletter, that you are going to want to save the date for next summer's first ever Boundless event. We're already planning it. I can't even believe how many deadlines we're already having to hit for this thing. It's like my life is not my own. I am living basically in next year already. Very concerning. But anyway, you also need to live in next year because you need to get this on your radar, on your calendar, and get ready to come. And guys, especially, I want to talk to you because I know that we've heard from many of the ladies who are already getting their girlfriends together to come. So if you want to find your future spouse, this is the place to do it, okay? This is the way to get intentional and start actually meeting people. All of you that say, oh, I'm Boundless, I just meet these people on the blog and it would be so great to meet them in person. Well, here is your chance. So save the date, boundless.org/save the date. Get on our email list so that you can receive updates as they're available. And then registration is going to open early next year. So be aware of that. So get your buddies together now so that you know when registration opens, you're good to go out the gate. All right. For this week's show, later on, of course, we love doing our inbox questions. And we have Michelle Wilson here to talk about, answer a question actually about the opportunities on airplanes and turning conversations to spiritual things. And does she have any personal experience with that? So kind of an interesting question, one a little bit out of our normal sphere. So I'll be looking forward to hearing that. And then for our culture segment, Francis Chan is here to talk about Multiply, his book on discipleship, as well as just a few other random things I throw in, as I always do. So we like Francis Chan, just a good guy who you know from Catalyst, from Passion, from speaking all over the world, from his book Crazy Love, Forgotten God. Do not forget Francis Chan. Great guy. We're glad to have him here at Boundless. And then here we are for our round table, and I have got Andrew, Karen, and Martha here. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, Lisa.
Good day.
Girls. Hey. Okay, so you know that we came off a couple months ago of Rock the Body, our first kind of challenge, fall challenge, where we talked about getting involved in the life of your local church. And we talked about small groups and had many people challenged to be part of small groups. And I think when people think of small groups, they think, yeah, well, I'm in so-and-so Bible study on, you know, insert book title here. And so, but we thought about how, especially when you're single and you're a young adult, you know, but this applies to anyone, but, you know, for those of us that are single and living alone, it's kind of like it really requires almost a Leviathan effort to get to know people and to get outside your house and your workplace, specifically your cubicle, if you're in one, to meet new people and have people in your lives. And so, and of course, this is totally indicative of our culture today too. We just kind of live for ourselves and do our own stuff and watch TV by ourselves and whatever. So we thought we would kind of step outside the box and talk about ways that you can actually, first of all, just socially get to know other people, but also find neat ways to incorporate your interests, your hobbies, your talents in ways that truly will invite other people into your lives and vice versa. So you guys are on this panel because apparently you all have done this in some way. So that's a good thing. So let's talk about, and as you talk, you know, share a little bit about what you're into on the side there. But when
let's
talk about the legal activities in this roundtable, okay? But as you think of how you got involved in these things, was it primarily to meet people or was it because you were just into this particular activity or a combination of both? So let's kind of put it out there.
One thing I'm in is a monthly craft group. It's kind of the modern day quilting bee. I know. But what was cool is my sister actually started it. And so she just invited some friends from church and my other sister and I are also in it. So that's how I got involved. And I've gotten to know people through it, mostly through her church. And it's all women of probably, I think we're probably all in our 30s, maybe late 20s. And some are married, some aren't. So it's a good mix.
And once a month, you said, right?
Yeah.
So like as you're doing crafts, you have the opportunity to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there some people that kind of lead the conversations, or does everyone kind of jump in, or who introduces topics?
Well, I don't know if it's that formal.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. When you're all sitting there, just the fact that, you know, so that you're not in silence, are there some people that are just conversationalists?
Well, my sister Naomi that started the group is very, so we feel a loss when she's not there. Okay. But otherwise, I mean, you might say, you know, I saw your vacation photos up on Facebook and talk about that a little bit, or what's going on at work, or what's up with your newborn. And
good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very cool.
I also am in a craft group.
Right, Andrew.
No, I'm not. I'm in a knitting group. No, actually, I made this myself, a knitting group. About a year ago, probably, I started a literature group.
Also, surprise.
Yeah, I know. Like, okay. Do what you love. But you know, I like to read, but I don't usually read literature or even novels. Like, I don't take time to read fiction. And I kind of just felt like, you know, I really would like to read some of these books, but I don't think I ever will unless I have somebody to talk to about them. So I just kind of
finally wanted to read those Christian romances.
Yes. Redeeming Love had been on my queue for queue for too long. Oh, so yeah. Wow, this is good. So anyway, I basically just put a shout out on Facebook, like, to anybody I thought might be like minded, and just said, hey, I'm thinking about starting this, who's interested? And used Facebook to kind of see who would be interested. And then I created a group on Facebook, which has actually been really helpful. I think if you're interested in starting a group like this, Facebook can be really helpful because you can put events right on there. You can ask questions like, hey, does this date work for people? What are you guys thinking? And we use that quite a bit. I even use that to select the books that we're going to read. I'll put a survey on SurveyMonkey and put it in our group in Facebook, and then let people vote on what we read. Nice. So actually, we're meeting this Friday as we sit here in tape, and going to be talking about Frankenstein. Ooh. So we've read some really interesting stuff.
Was he a real person?
Well,
I don't think I've ever read the book.
Well, Frankenstein was actually the doctor that created the monster.
Oh, right.
A lot of people think that Frankenstein was the monster,
right.
And really it's the doctor. So it's
is
actually
that a
really
spoiler alert.
What's that?
A little bit.
Spoiler alert. It's a classic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people should know.
Yeah,
I'm enlightening the Boundless community.
Good.
But yeah, so that's kind of, I started that, and it's been a lot of fun. Like, a lot of people joined, and there's always new people joining, and it's we have really great conversations. And there's even times where people come to conversation like, I didn't like this book, and I thought it was boring, and they'll leave saying, wow, after this discussion, I think I actually like this book, like, because you guys helped me see things that I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Martha's in the group.
I am. And I have to admit, I didn't know the whole Frankenstein doctor name thing until I read it.
Hmm. Yeah. So look at us.
Okay.
We're expanding our horizons.
I know.
Yeah. I am in two social groups, you could say. I have a book club I'm in. And I am one of the youngest in the group. Mm. I was asked to join by my mother-in-law. Mm. So I'm speaking into this as a married person, but as somebody who would stay home and be a homebody and go to work and then go home and be with my cats. So
she really does have two cats.
I do have two cats. Mm. And I appreciate these social groups because they do give me the opportunity to meet with people on a regular basis and on a consistent basis. And I think for me, getting to build these relationships has been because of the consistency, and it's in the calendar. Mm-hmm. But I'm in a book club, and that's fun because, like I said, I'm one of the youngest, so I'm getting to engage with ladies of different ages and stages of life about all various kinds of topics, and that's always invigorating, enlightening, and sometimes frustrating. And then I attend a church where we're required to be part of a meal group. We're sort of required. We're encouraged.
Strongly encouraged.
It's like our version of a small group. But the requirement is you eat together over a table. And that's where a lot of fellowship naturally tends to take place. So.
How often?
Once a month.
Oh, okay.
Both are once a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah, cool. Okay.
Do you have to cook too then?
We do it buffet style, so we pick a theme, and then each person gives a shout out for, if it's tacos, I'll bring the lettuce and the cheese, or somebody else brings the meat.
And how many people are in that?
We have probably a total of 12, six couples. Mm-hmm. It actually started, most of us are married now, But there was a point where not all of us were married. Some were dating, some were engaged, and each person's kind of made, kind of has progressed mm-hmm. through that, those mm-hmm. life stages. So mm-hmm. That's been really interesting. That.
Yeah.
We support.
So what would you guys say as far as your groups? Like, are there any unique connections that you've made in the group that you thought, you know, maybe that person was just like, oh yeah, they're just in the group, but then all of a sudden you find that you have something in common with them or something that was unexpected?
Well, I'm actually, another group that I'm in is a writers group, and so that it's published authors, writers, editors from all over the city, and that has been kind of a neat network of just people to draw on for advice or just to learn from. Yeah, I think we even had one of them on the podcast, so mm-hmm. that was a good connection.
Yeah, you're working the groups for an introvert, Martha.
I know. Well, I like planning, so if I can have it all on my calendar, it works well for me. So.
Yeah. Planned. She likes planned fellowship.
Yes,
orchestrated fellowship. That's good.
Yeah, I think a lot of the neat things that have happened with our group is there's a lot of people that have come into the group that I didn't even know. Hmm. So I started it, but people have invited. I mean, there's one guy who is an English teacher. And he has like this wealth, this background in English. And so he has these insights. And then there's somebody who has a sister who's actually Martha. There's a sister who's
my sister
getting a PhD in English, I think, in literature.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she happens to be visiting this week. So she's going to come on Friday and share her wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, which I'm like hoping she leads most of the conversation. But things like that where you learn things, people are suggesting things, and I mean, even already in the group, I've read things that I didn't even know about. Like I read books that I really wasn't familiar with, and now would say, you know, that's one of my new favorites. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. So that's kind of fun. And then also, it's just interesting to see how groups morph. Like more people will come in, and people will have a lot of excitement about it. It is hard because it is a group that takes a lot of time. People have to find time in a month to read the book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in some ways that helps the conversation. In some ways it's hard too because people, we're all busy. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where we have homework every week. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, we kind of set it up that people could engage as much as they wanted to. So some people skip different books that we read mm-hmm. and come back for another one. So. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I think the benefit of being in groups with people who are in different life stages or just come from different perspectives is you do, at the end of that conversation, at the end of that meal, you walk away from a particular topic having been enlightened in some way. And maybe you still hold to your original opinion, but you've been given perspectives and insights that you never would have considered outside of that group. And I think it's helpful to us becoming more well-rounded, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
As individuals.
Well, it's interesting because as I sit here, you know, I'm a little bit envious because I'm in a season of not really being in groups. I mean, I've got a couple. I mean, just because I've come off of months of travel and I'm in the process of writing a book and just work has been kind of nutty and helping launch a church plant and stuff like that. So it's kind of like every minute I have is like, okay, almost like a economy, you know, can I spend it doing this or can I do that? So it's hard, but I have definitely been in the past, I've done hiking groups and I've done book clubs and I've done, and it's neat because some of those types of things have been great opportunities also for outreach. And one, I have several friends who are great card players and I'm not because I grew up with them being the devil's tools. And so they've invited me into.
I thought they were.
Well, no. Just in moderation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they were like, hey, come on over and we're going to do, you know, we'll do spades or we'll do poker or we'll do something, you know, and just kind of fun. But then they've invited a few of their coworkers, too, who that's an easy entry, something they're comfortable with, rather than, you know, hey, come to this Bible study with me or even, you know, in some. It's interesting to me how many non-believers don't even know what a game night is, because I've had game nights before where they're just like, what's that? I don't even know what you're doing. You know, so it's just kind of funny, whereas they're like, no, we want to go to a bar. But but to get to know people in that kind of context, what would you guys say as you look ahead to the groups that you're in right now? Is there anything that you would like to see come of them? I mean, either you had goals from the get-go, or now as you've gotten to know more people, you're like, I would really love to see either this whole thing become this or this relationship with this person I met become this, or just kind of interesting or even things you're seeing, you know, become or happen as a result of them.
Mm. This might sound silly, but I've been to a lot of baby showers of the other people in my group, in the craft group. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it'd be fun if someday they're coming to my shower. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's a long-term goal, but
Sure,
it's part of the community aspect of it.
Yeah, right. And they can kind of celebrate with you and be part of that life stage. That's cool. Yeah.
I think for me, in our meal group, we've had, as I was saying, couples just in various stages of life. One couple's been married for 12 years, another for 8 years, three, and so on down the line. And some have four kids, some have two. So I think what I would love to see continue is just that life on life, where some of us are just a few seasons ahead of the other, but it's so helpful to watch parenting be exemplified and a marriage withstand different tests and trials, and to be able to, like you're saying, Martha, have babies together and send those babies off to school when they're ready, and just continue to walk in these stages of life, but walk together with people who are a little bit behind you and with people who go before you and can speak into that, those areas of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for our group, the thing that I've always kind of had as my goal is that we would just continue to grow in the ability to have good, meaningful conversation. Because I think, as I look around, I think that there's a lot of substitutes for conversation these days, you know, texting or, you know, writing emails or like I think a lot of people, you know, would say, I don't ever just sit down and just have a long, deep conversation with people. You know, I mean, some are probably more conversational and they're like, oh, I do that all the time. But I think that that is something that, that our group really does, is we dig into a book and really chew on it and meditate on it. In the sense that we're looking at it from a lot of different angles. And I think that's, I hope that people look back and say, man, in that group, we really had these rich conversations and that was missing from my life. Mm-hmm. And because I think that the learning how to communicate that way and preserving that kind of communication is important. And I think our society is moving towards more quips, like tweets and Facebook posts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we need to continue to be able to sit down with somebody and share our heart and talk deeply about something and not just like quickly dismiss things or make a quick statement about a topic that really deserves more of a treatment. So, but yeah, I do think there's been a lot of new friendships in our group. I think one of the, if you're thinking about starting a group, start something that you're excited about. And it, because it doesn't have to be like something that where it seems overtly beneficial, like a craft group or a reading group or something. It can just be like
it's beneficial.
Oh, I know. That's what I was saying.
You know. Oh, okay, sorry.
but I mean, like you could even say, hey, let's start a group that we go to a movie and then discuss it. You know. So I mean, your group may grow more than my reading group, my book club. But find something you're passionate about, and then. I think as a growing strategy, encourage people like, hey, if there's people you know that would enjoy this, you know, tell them to come and let yourself deal with the problem of, wow, we have too many people. Like, you know, we can't all. And I do think that there's times where if you did get to a point where you had, you know, 25 or 30 people, you know, maybe talk about, hey, why don't we break off into two groups? So for the sake of the conversation, you know, and so.
Our craft group, we've actually had a lottery of when there's an opening, we'll like put in some names and pick one of who gets to join.
Because you're like limited membership.
It is limited.
It's a closed group.
I mean, your kitchen table's only so big to have everybody with their scissors and cloth. So, yeah.
That's cool. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I think, too, I mean, another great thing as people think of what they could do is something, you know, you said something that interests you. Also, something you're good at and offer it to people. Like, there's a guy in our church that was just like, hey, anyone in the church, specifically women who you know, are going to get a carry license for guns or want to own a gun or whatever, come, I'll show you how to shoot and I'll help you walk through the process. That is a great opportunity for single men to get some ladies. Let me just say, if you...
I know some single ladies who have bought guns recently.
Yeah.
So
wow. Really, I mean, if you want to just get in the sphere and act like you know something, which you do, and help ladies out, that's a great thing that you could do.
Yeah. Just don't make them mad.
Just... That's true, yeah. As they're holding their guns out on an open range.
Yeah.
But, you know, just an idea like that. But Well, and like Andrew, you know, Andrew basically went and started one. Martha found one or had a connection, you know, through her sister and stuff. And Karen, obviously, through church and pseudo with the meal group, being told she had to do one.
And her mother-in-law.
So that's good. Yeah. And listening to that and being open to that, you know, because that could be easily something where you're like, ah, I see enough of my, you know, that part of the family or whatever. But being open to it and seeing who else, you know, especially with the multi-generational thing, I think is a great opportunity for that. So, so yeah, I think those are great thoughts, you guys. And anything else anyone wants to add?
Yeah. Go ahead, Martha.
Well, I'm curious, Lisa, if you were to join a group right now, what would you want it to be about?
Good question.
Yeah. You know, it's, I'm trying to think because as I think back on all the different things that I have done, I'm kind of like, yeah, would I get back into something like that? Or would I do something new? I think for me, kind of the whole kill two birds mentality is great. Oh, actually, I'm in a group. The three of us at this table work out twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
We do.
That's another group.
Fabulous. Yes. A fabulous girl who, like, actually leads us and, like, knows how to teach, like, strength training. So we do that together.
Shout out to Katie Overstreet.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good.
Voila. She's very good at it. Yeah. And that's something where I'm like, oh, my word, I can do this during lunch with girls that I like and enjoy getting to know. And I don't have to do it after work then. So that's just a great opportunity to, like, double up, you know, and get some bitten it done while at the same time having fun doing that. So I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, so anything that's, you know, where I can be active and kind of like outdoors things. So when I was in that hiking group, that was fun because you think, even though in Colorado you're hiking uphill most of the time, which is hard to carry on a conversation sometimes. but it's funny how you're just walking and people do, you just start talking, you know, and next thing you know, you're 7, 8, 10 miles in. So so that's a really, really good thing. But I'm going to have to look around and see. I think the benefit of the multi-generational is good too.
Yeah.
So
looking, you have some good options here at the table. Book club, some older ladies.
I know.
Crafts.
Oh, my
word.
Well, no, I can't get into the crafts unless it's a lottery, unless there's an opening.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I can get your name on the list, though.
I just have to benefit from Martha's crafts when I see her. Sometimes she brings them in and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I think she's done. So, and at her house. So, well, cool thoughts, you guys. Thanks for weighing in on this.
Thanks for having us.
To the one, the only one, who has come to save us, the only son, the only son. Many say there's others, but there is no one like him, no. His love lights the way, his truth will break down every lie, his children proclaim his name.
Folks, it's always exciting when we can feature for our culture segment a new guest. And I guess we have a new guest as far as the Boundless show is concerned today, but this is not a new person to you because many of you, if you have ever even touched the heels of Catalyst or Passion or any of the conferences that we love to promote here at the Boundless show, have heard of Francis Chan, and he is with us today. Welcome, Francis Chan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Very exciting to have you on the show. Folks, you know Francis Chan. I just alluded to all the places that he has spoken. He is also the author, best-selling author for sure, of books like Crazy Love, Forgotten God, Erasing Hell. And then his book Multiply, which actually we're going to talk a little bit about today because you know that one of our core really values here at Boundless is being able to articulate and apply a biblical worldview. And what does that mean? And core to that is becoming and making disciples. And so you are no stranger to this. You are now in the Bay Area of California, correct?
Yes, I'm in the Bayview area of San Francisco.
Okay.
And just making disciples out here. It's been great.
Awesome. That is my home. I grew up in San Jose in Mountain View, so you are in my stomping grounds.
Right.
Very, very fun childhood growing up there. But now I live in Colorado, and I do appreciate the mountains. So I'm just saying, it's all good. But well, hey, let's go ahead and jump in to some of the themes in this book, because I think a lot of people, Francis, look to you as someone that has, you know, lived out the Christian faith in a number of different ways. I mean, I know I've heard you speak through the book of Acts and just how that personally kind of transformed the way that you live out your faith and how it's challenged you. And I want to just say, I mean, first of all, themes in Multiply. One thing I wanted to start out by asking you is that I think that one of our problems in our culture today is that we're not really forced into community, especially single people, because we're basically like, if we don't want to be in community, we just pull away. Or if we rub people the wrong way, we're like, I need to break from them. I can't do that. Can't deal with them. I'm going to go find more interesting or easier people. So it's kind of difficult to live life on life in that sense, and easy to be a lone ranger. How do we overcome this, especially when we're called to a biblical discipleship?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I mean, one, you just have to look at Scripture and know that this is what God intended for us. He didn't intend for us to be alone. And it is very against our culture. I mean, you walk around now, everyone's staring at their iPhone, or there's just no eye contact and everything else. But yet God called us to be different. He called us to be a light. And he says the world's going to know that Christ was sent when you love one another, when they see this love amongst you. So we don't really have a choice. So knowing that in our heads, knowing as a believer, I was saved to be a part of a body, to be a part of this new people group, and I'm not a lone ranger anymore. So I don't know where, you know, everyone stands, but for me, when I read something in the Word of God, and I'm reading 1 Peter and going, gosh, that's what he intended, was this family, this body, this temple of us together. When I'm reading John 17 and going, okay, this is Christ's prayer. I'm reading Ephesians and going, wow, he died so that we could be this one new man. I don't have a choice. Even though, honestly, it's my preference many times to run and be on my own and isolate myself. I just go, that's not an option for me, because I fear the Lord, I believe in the Lord, and I trust his word.
Yeah. Well, I think so many Christians wrestle with this idea of, you know, we talk about resting in God or resting in his love for us and in what we know to be true in our identity in Christ. And I think it makes a lot of people, especially young adults, you know, we get preaching from both sides. It's like, you know, here are the spiritual disciplines. Here's what you need to know. Study the word. We all have our ESV study Bibles and all that kind of stuff. And we're thinking that we have to do X number of things to grow spiritually. But then we're also taught of what it means to grow by being. How do we kind of reconcile the two as far as what does it mean to understand our identity in Christ versus going out and doing and making disciples and that active kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the Scripture teaches both. It's you have these imperatives in Scripture, the commands, you know, we call them what, you know, do this, do that. I mean, that is all throughout the Scriptures, but before all of those commands are these indicatives, which is, this is what has already been done for you in Christ. And because Christ has done this in you, therefore go and do these things. And so the being has to be there. It's something internally that has changed you. That heart of stone has become this heart of flesh. And it's out of the overflow of your heart that your mouth is now speaking and saying these things and doing these things. So, unless you really know the Lord, these desires to obey his commands and live that way, it's not even going to be there. It's just impossible. And so we have to rest in him and know that we're secure in him and know that his Spirit is working through us. And it's his Spirit that works. He gives us that will and that ability to do what he's called us to do. I kind of see it as... you know that Gatorade commercial where people are sweating and Gatorade's coming out their pores, and then it says, is it in you? I kind of think of that when I think of, this is what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit being in us. He naturally works himself out in these actions because of who we are and who we are in Christ, and because of the internal change, now these outward actions happen. So it's all one and the same, really, is if the Spirit is in you, you almost can't help but pursue these commands and want to live the way that God's called us to.
Yeah. No, I'm not familiar with that commercial because I don't watch TV. I just read my Bible, basically. No, I'm just teasing. Oh, my word. Okay, so speaking of the Bible, why then can we not just, and this is a lot of, you know, an argument I hear a lot from young adults who either are transient or they feel like they don't plug in places. Why can't we just study the Bible on our own? Why do we need the input and influence of others? Because so many people are like, well, if it's living and active, all I need is just Jesus and me. You know, he's going to transform me.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you are reading the Bible, you would see that it says do not neglect, you know, this gathering of the saints. Don't neglect this meeting together, but you are supposed to use your gifts to encourage and spur others on. And so anyone who's studying the Bible for themselves and seriously studying, not just from an academic perspective, but saying, God, I want to follow this book, you'll see that, okay, he's given me a spiritual gift, all of us have it, and it's for the sake of building up the body, according to 1 Corinthians 12:8, that we've been given this to build others up. And so if we're not in community, we're really wasting the spiritual gift that he's given us. He didn't give us these gifts for ourselves. And so, yes, I beg people, please, please, please study the Bible on your own. There are so many false and bad teachers out there that I would beg you, study the Word on your own and observe what it just clearly, obviously says. But as you do that, you'll find very quickly that, okay, I'm not supposed to be in isolation. So if you really are studying the Word by yourself, praise God for that. But by doing so, it should lead you to no longer be by yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we need to get into a little bit of like personal application and where this has hit the, you know, the rubber's hit the road for you on this, because I think a lot of young adults, especially those that have seen you speak, kind of, you know, liken you, you know, you're kind of lumped in with the John Pipers and all those other folks that are just like, oh my goodness, this guy, what he's doing is so unattainable. He's just out there planting churches and living all New Testament. And I'm just trying to work a job and like, you know, finance my iPad and stuff like that. So how have you been challenged? I mean, in your walk with the Lord, I mean, obviously we go through seasons where it's just like, okay, here I am living, you know, in America. And but I know that you've been, you know, you do a lot of work with David Platt, and I'm sure he's challenged you. I'm sure. Where have the writings or the lives even of some of your contemporaries really challenged you in your own walk with the Lord? And how do you kind of reconcile that to, you know, where you want to be in that sense?
Yeah, I think I've been most encouraged by our brothers and sisters overseas who are truly suffering for the gospel. Mm-hmm. I mean, physically suffering, emotionally suffering, you know, in countries where, okay, if they find out what I'm doing, not only am I in a lot of trouble, but so is my whole family. I mean, they're just, I look at people who have lost family members for the sake of the gospel and with scars all over their body, and yet this joy from the Lord. And I go, okay, I've got a long ways to go, Lord. These people are my heroes. I mean, sure, we hear of some of the great teachers out here, and there certainly are wonderful teachers, and many of whom I see living it out in their daily lives, like the couple that you mentioned, David Platt, John Piper, you know, but they would join me in saying, man, we don't even get it compared to some of these people overseas and what they have done for the gospel and are doing today. And they need to be in our prayers, and they need to be our example in many ways. And so for me, traveling and seeing the faith of these believers, it keeps me going, because it's hard here in America. It's hard not to just sink into this complacent, you know, justification of a comfortable lifestyle. And so whenever I even think that I'm suffering, I think about what my brothers and sisters are enduring in places where it's against the law, it's against the culture, to me doing what they're doing, and I go, okay, this is nothing compared to them.
Yeah. I mean, I so think that that perspective would benefit so many Western believers, especially. I mean, I was telling you before we started taping how I just came back from a trip to Hong Kong. And of course that, you know, Hong Kong is full of affluence and all kinds of, you know, they struggle with similar things that we do. But I can't tell you how many first generation believers I met. And these people who are just like, oh my word, 3 years ago, I met Jesus and my life has changed. Yeah. And I'm now bucking my family and the tradition and the expectations of me and, you know, going and sweeping the graves at festivals and what, you know, how do I reconcile this? But just the joy in their faces for having come, you know, in face to face with the gospel and what that means. Yeah. And that's just so like encouraging to me. And I've said on Boundless before, you know, that we would, it would serve us well to start getting a little bit excited about Jesus Christ again and, you know, not fall into this, oh yeah, you know, I tweeted so-and-so's sermon and just kind of all the expected avenues of so-called, you know, gospel work that we do.
Yes.
So true in that.
Yeah. And I, you know, one other person I forgot to mention who really is my hero here in the States, would be Johnny Erickson Tada.
Oh, sure.
I was just with her last weekend, and my wife and I are just in tears listening to her speak and just hanging out with her. For those who don't know her, please look up her ministry. This is, I think, the most spirit-filled person I know. Mm-hmm. 46, 47 years as a paraplegic, and the things that God has done through this woman and the joy and the long suffering, she is my hero. And you meet people like that, and they just inspire you. Like, wow, what the Spirit has done through that woman. But what I was saying at her conference, I was like, gosh, what bothers me is that she's this anomaly. Like, there's no one like her. But yet, if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is in us, man, we should all be doing things like her that people just don't expect, because this is the same Spirit that's in us. And so let's look up to these people, let's use them as examples, but also recognize I've got that same Spirit in me. Mm-hmm. And many of us would be shocked if we come to the end of our life and go, man, look at this massive ministry. I can't believe the Lord did that through me. And what I'm saying is we should be shocked at the opposite. Like, to go, what? The Spirit of God is in me and this is all I've done? You know, it's almost like we're surprised when God does huge things through us, rather than surprised when He doesn't, because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we all have to start thinking this way, is to look at these people, admire them, learn from them, but also recognize, I've got that same Spirit in me. Lord, there should be a lot more happening. I'm going to pray, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to pursue.
Yeah. Well, and just like Johnny again, I mean, the grace that has shown up in her life, I mean, through that, I mean, in the way that she testifies to that. I interviewed her and Ken not too long ago here on the show.
Okay.
And just her talking about, you know, going through, I mean, obviously, you know, the diving accident and then struggling with terrible pain. And Ken talked about his depression, and then she gets breast cancer. And she's like, yeah, you know, I really trusted God until the cancer. And then, you know, that I really struggled with. And I'm like, I would have been dead in the water, like, you know, 2 weeks into your life, basically, you know, and just how she really has relied on and reconciling herself to the fact that God has a story for her and He is working in that. You know, it's just so, so amazing, amazing to see.
Oh. Yeah, the craziest thing was, okay, when she was going through her chemo treatments, she got pneumonia. So here's this paraplegic who's in chronic pain, getting chemo for her cancer, contracts pneumonia, and that week I get a letter of encouragement from her.
Mm-hmm.
From her.
Yeah.
She thinks to write me and encourage me. I'm just going, I don't even text people when I have the flu. Here's this, I can't even believe the grace, like you said, that God has given her to become the person that she is.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're just spiritually weak, Francis. Obviously, you're no Johnny Erickson Tada. Okay?
I am not. That is for sure.
Well, I hope you sent her a note back because you owe her one now.
I did. How can you not at that point? Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh my word.
Write her a book.
Yeah. Well, okay. Which brings me to again, you know, and this is something I hear a lot. How, when it comes to discipleship, and I've been so encouraged by, obviously, you know, Jesus Christ being the chief discipler and seeing what he did with the 12 and obviously with the three who were closest to him. But so many people today will say, well, you know, aren't I disqualified because I struggle so much in my own walk with God? And half the time, I don't even believe that God's doing good in my life. And half the time, I question him as to why he's allowing this to happen, whether in my life or in the world, you know, the presence of evil and stuff. How, I mean, what encouragement is there for those who really are just like, I don't even know if I can, you know, believe this for my own life, let alone transmit it to others?
Wow. Wow, that is a heavy question. And it's so hard to speak to a general crowd because this is a difficult thing of even what we're doing right now. Speaking to thousands of people and trying to say something that's going to hit them all. And even when you describe that, I go, gosh, there's different reasons why different people feel different things. And I want to be careful not to exhort people who just need some encouragement. And I don't want to encourage people who really need some exhorting. it's really an individual basis where I could say some people, the whole reason why you're in this funk is because all you think about is yourself. Mm-hmm. And the most healthy thing you could do is care for someone else.
Oh, don't worry. One of my spiritual gifts is rebuking, so I do that all the time on the show. So you're good. I've already laid the foundation for you.
Okay, good. Good. But, you know, some people, their misery is because of their self-centeredness. They cannot stop thinking about themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone else's fault, and why don't these people do this? But when you start giving and you start seeing people with issues way beyond yours, gosh, it takes your mind off yourself, and there's this joy where you really are more blessed by giving to them rather than taking this poor me, why is everyone doing this to me attitude. We only go so far. We plateau and start going backwards when we've been given so much and we don't do. Like David and I were in Korea recently, and he had just preached four sermons, and now it's my turn, and I'm going, man, this is ridiculous. I believe you just went to like four buffets, and I think we need to go exercise. You know, would be the healthiest thing is go actually work this off, do something. But instead, I'm going to feed you another meal. Mm-hmm. The best thing for some of us to go and do and act and love. And yet on the flip side of that, yeah, there are some people who are listening right now where, gosh, your walk with the Lord is a mess right now, and you are questioning and wondering and not experiencing the Holy Spirit. And there's another truth that for some of you, the worst thing you can do is make a disciple because, you know, in your hypocrisy and everything else, we don't really want two of you. You know, get yourself right, get your, you know, repent of some of these sins, believe the Holy Spirit can change you, and be at least in that process as you go make disciples. We're all in process. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, make sure you're in that process.
Yeah.
And multiplying. Otherwise, by discipling someone, because we all make disciples. It's just whether we're helping them, whether we're discipling them in the right things.
Sure.
Everyone has someone that's following them and impacted by their example. So even though you may say, oh, my life's a mess, and I shouldn't make disciples, the truth is you are making disciples. People are following your example. And it's just right now, it should put a greater urgency in you to come before the Lord and say, you know, because I'm convicted of these things, obviously you're speaking to me right now. Mm-hmm. And I do have tremendous power because of the Spirit in me. And if the Spirit is in you, then just get on your face, repent, be baptized, filled with the Spirit. That promises for us, you know, thousands of years later after it was written in the book of Acts.
Yeah. So speaking, just kind of as we wrap up here, of that almost that burden of influence, and like I said, you know, on the front end of the interview, you know, you've been at Passion and Catalyst. I mean, you have the ear of thousands of young adults, including our audience. And do you ever just wonder, I mean, because sometimes I've sat there and I've been like, oh, you know, if Francis Chan or Andy Stanley or John Piper or one of these guys could just say something that's going to shake up our generation. I mean, do you ever just feel like when you're standing on stage and you're preaching, like what is going to get through and what is God doing with this generation? I mean, what would you say if you could truly move and shake our generation in a direction? What would that entail? What would you want people to walk away from and truly be motivated by and changed by to go back into their communities?
Yeah. You know, I draw my strength. While, yes, people influence me, and I thank God for some examples out there, as I already mentioned, 95% of my inspiration is my time alone with the Lord in the Word of God. I read the Word and it just jumps out and I go, gosh, that's so obvious. That's so simple. I don't see anyone doing it, but I've got to do it. Lord, give me the strength. Let me do this. So if there's an encouragement to all those of you who are listening, it is please get alone with the Word of God. Look at it. Pray about it. Say, God, give me the strength as I read this. Open my eyes as I read this. And then give me the courage to carry it out, even if I don't see anyone else doing it. God, by your Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to do. Help me to surrender to this book, and I just have to do it. And I'm saying the times when I have just let go of what anyone thinks of me, and I just go, man, I'm standing before God right now. Here's his word. I'm just going to do it, and I pursue those things. Those have been the greatest decisions of my life. And so my guess is a lot of you, your greatest times and greatest moments may not be from listening to me speak or someone else speak or being at this conference or that conference, but it's going to be that time alone with the Lord in his word by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. All right. Well, folks, we've been talking to Francis Chan again on the front end here. I mentioned that he is obviously, as you all know, the author of Crazy Love, Erasing Hell, Forgotten God, and Multiply. We've been talking a little bit about Multiply. So just a huge, you know, these books have been a huge blessing to me personally, but also just seeing your example and even hearing things that I hear secondhand, Francis, of just how you are truly following God where he's telling you to go, and not even in all the big ways that we expect, but just I'm sure some of the small ways that we don't even see. So thanks so much for giving us some time with our audience and doing what you do and being committed, like you said, to personal study of the Word of God, because that's where it starts.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dear Lord, I come a desperate man, just trying to do the best I can. I know my children look to me, so I'm on my knees, 'cause it's you they need. Would you steal their heart?
Folks, we are finishing out the show with our inbox segment, and I'm very pleased to have Michelle Wilson with us. Hey, Michelle.
Hello. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Michelle is one of our basically in charge of human resources here at Focus on the Family, so she has to deal with people every day. But beyond her role here, I know she has a heart for people, for the gospel, for missions. These are big things that drive her. And so we thought she was a perfect person to come in and answer this listener question. And so this person is asking, what is the best way to witness to people who are sitting in the airplane seat next to you? I feel like there's a different dynamic on a plane because the person may feel trapped. I know, I've been there. What are the best strategies or practices for witnessing on planes?
That's a great question, and I agree with you. I don't like to be the person strapped to that seat next to somebody who is incessant on talking to me. Mm-hmm. But the Lord did something in my life that I feel has something to do with that. I was in LAX. I had just finished a whole summer, actually, in learning how to share my faith. Hmm. And it happened to be in a place where you hear Bill Bright talk about sitting next to people in planes every time, talking mm-hmm. to him about Christ. So I was on standby in LAX, huge airport, and 6 hours later, I'm still waiting to get on the plane. By then, I'm bargaining with God and saying, Lord, if you'll get me on that plane, you know. But I had been talking with a girl, and her mom was there. And we had talked for 6 hours about everything else but the Lord. Wow. And had a lot in common. It was fun. We were both about the same age. And she said to me, we were both complaining, let us get on this plane, you know. And I had prayed silently, Lord, get me on this plane. And I'll talk to her if you get her on the plane, too. You know, we're bargaining away with the Lord. She might silently. The Lord got me on the plane. And then I look at my ticket and I said, well, Lord, if you sit her by me, then I'll talk to her, you know. Well, sure enough, she was in the seat right next to me. Hmm. So I felt like, okay, I have to do it. And I was really reticent. I don't like to put people on the spot. It feels very intrusive to me at the time, even though I learned how to do it. So she asks me the question. The Lord even helped me out there. Now, what were you doing out here all summer? So I pull out the little booklet that they give you to help you tell the story of Christ. And I go through it with her. And within 5 minutes of takeoff, she had accepted Christ as her Savior. Mm. And we had the whole flight to talk about that and how she would love for me to come and talk to her family, which was another hour away from where I lived in St. Louis. And sure enough, within a week, I went down there to talk with her family. And one by one, she had her boyfriend there, her mother and father and brothers and sisters. It was like a little crowd that mm-hmm. I was telling the same story to. Hmm. And they all accepted Christ as their Savior. Wow. It was one of those things that had so much of God's fingerprints on and mm-hmm. so much of my resistance to. Mm-hmm. And he was so patient with me to do everything I asked to get me over the fear of mm-hmm. actually talking about him. That was a wonderful experience.
Oh, my word. That is so cool. And it just reminds me, I actually had a season, I think it was about a year or two, where I kind of had said that I was going to try to use my airplane trips to see if I could, almost as a game, like turn every conversation on an airplane to spiritual things and just see how God would use it. Because I work at Focus on the Family and I'm in Bible studies and in church stuff. And I'm like, wow, how will I ever really have, I mean, for me, it's already a challenge to have non-Christians in my life on a consistent basis. And so I remember just telling myself that. And as I look back on it, I remember it as a season of, first of all, no conversation ever felt natural. I mean, it's like, so I think a lot of people just say, oh, it has to be easy. It has to be. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit is working, it's a supernatural process. It's not me being witty or interesting or clever in presenting the gospel. You know, I always tell people Romans 1:16, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Not because I can communicate it wittily, but because it's the power of God for salvation. And so I think that's a great illustration, Michelle, of that as well, of just how God, if we're bold, I mean, sometimes it's just making one comment, sometimes it's just making an entree with me, and I'm sure for you. Now, anytime people ask, you know, when I say I work at Focus on the Family, I'll usually either get, oh, tell me what that's about, or oh my goodness, I can't stand them or something, you know, yes. There's always some reaction, you know, related to that. So it always provides a good springboard for discussion.
I think if we're willing, he will make the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's obvious they don't want to go further, mm-hmm. to speak in love and care for them, because it may be the water that begins to unharden that ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing all the time. And if you realize they're people that are divine appointments mm-hmm. every time, he mm-hmm. chooses the seats I sit in.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're willing and able, he's there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Michelle, for sharing, especially that personal experience and how God used you in that and the encouragement that is. So that's great. Okay, folks, that is it for this week's show. Please do write to us at editor@boundless.org if you want your question answered in the future. And if you want to weigh in on the blog, just if you've had a personal experience related to this last inbox question, what that means to you, and maybe some encouragement related to that that you can share with us as we all seek to be encouraged, to understand our identity in Christ, and then to live that out, whether it's in word or deed or both, however God presents opportunity. So please, please, please do that. And while you are doing that, do not forget to sign up for Save the Date, boundless.org/save the date, so you can make a point of being here next summer, August 7th through 9th, for our Boundless Conference. So we look forward to having you join us and meet us. So that is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of boundless.org. Focus on the family.